Chip Jones. I'm one of the elders here, and the microphone is not on? Okay. My name is Chip Jones, and I'm one of the elders here, and it's my turn to speak this morning. I appreciate this privilege it is to look out this from this vantage point that I don't get to do very often and see everybody's faces, and it's great to be here. I even want to give a shout out a little bit to the folks that are online watching us. I understand there are several members that weren't able to be here today, and they're watching us from wherever they are on computer live stream. You know, Alan is still in Fiji, I believe, and he's on his way back very soon. Not soon enough for me, it does help me understand so much about how much energy and effort he puts into bringing us messages on Sunday. I also appreciate the opportunity for me to explain a little bit more about who I am and where I come from and some of my thoughts, and I'm hoping that the information that I have to share with you is going to be beneficial and helpful. As you can see from my slide here, I called this "The Church is Like a Family." I used the word "like" in there because it's a metaphor that is supposed to be helping us understand. You know, there's so many mysteries about God and His relationship with us, and He has given us things like this in Scripture to tell us how we should understand our relationship with Him, because it's not easy just to come up with it and understand it the way we should. And so He's given us these techniques for us to understand it, and I'm going to try to give you my perspective on that. Let's see. See if I know what I'm doing here. Okay. I'm glad to have this podium here. It keeps me from running away. I can hold on to it. But the church is like a building. That's another metaphor. And there are scriptures that talk about how we are the temple of God and how we should protect it and how we should take care of it. And Paul reiterates here in this scripture here in Corinthians about how he's collected information from various places in the Old Testament and has helped us try to understand a little bit about our relationship as a church. And it is related like a building. But that's not what I want to talk about. The church is also like a body. You know, we talk about that a lot of times, and especially in the realms of understanding about how we should try to fulfill our function. Everybody has a slightly different function as they are part of the body of Jesus Christ, and they should look for the way that they can contribute to the body, and they shouldn't look down on each other because somebody else has a slightly different function than somebody else does. Everyone has their function, and God has placed them there that way so that we can all look for ways to contribute, and we need to do that. Everybody has a natural talent and ability, and other people develop theirs because they see a need for that, and they fill those needs. And in that way, it can become like a body, and we should give thought about how we're sharing our natural talents and abilities with each other. Church is like a marriage, and I use my own picture here because I have the copyrights for that picture, you know. If you want to understand about how you fit into a larger group, one way to start is to think about church as being like a marriage. And one of the things you have to understand is there's submission to each other. It's not just what I want to do or what somebody else wants to do in the family or in the marriage. It is we submit to each other, and we submit our own personal wills to the will of what's going to make us better as a family, better as a couple, better as a place where we can have children and grow a family that can be the next generation of members of the church. And so we submit to each other, and we try to understand, and God has put it this way so that we can understand it's not always about us. It's about how we fit into the larger group. Okay, the church is like a family. Now, this is my family when I was growing up, and I'm the one in standing up in the back. Looked like I believe I looked at this, and it's about the time I was baptized. And so that has a lot of significance to me. And so my family, you can see it was a large family. It gave me a lot of benefits to learn how to live as a person who's a member of the church and is a part of a larger body. One of the things I learned is it wasn't about me. It's about the larger family. And when I looked at this when I was getting ready to talk about it, the first thing I thought of was nobody ever asked me what I wanted to eat for dinner. You know, that really just wasn't important. Now, I had a great friend that I met in the church when I was living in Fayetteville, and he was an only child, had a very small family, and his mom would ask him every night, what do you want for dinner? And he'd say, fried chicken, green beans, mashed potatoes, and gravy. And so that's what he got every single day. And I'm thinking, that's really strange. You would think, well, that's terrible, you know. He's probably a very selfish person. Well, that wasn't true. His life, he decided what he wanted to do, besides fried chicken and mashed potatoes, is he wanted to enlist in the Army, and he served 3 tours in Vietnam as a Green Beret and brought home several Purple Hearts and experiences from several helicopter crashes and things like that. So he learned, I'm sure nobody asked him over there, what would you like to eat for dinner tonight? And he learned to get past that. And he learned to do that, and he was a great person. Just a few years older than me, and he had 2 daughters just like I did. And his daughters were a great influence on my girls. So the only way I learned this, and this is tying in it, it's not just an interesting story, but what ties this in is I would never have known that except we worked together in the church. And it wasn't just meeting him on Sunday morning, because I'd met him many times, but we were chaperones for the teenagers and spent a week with them in a camp. And it was sort of a Vietnam experience in some ways. And we got to be really close together, and we learned it wasn't just about studying the Bible, and it wasn't just about worshiping God on Sunday morning. It was about shoulder to shoulder with somebody, solving problems, trying to contribute something to a larger group. And you learn how each other thinks and where you come from, and you have time to talk and get to know each other. So that's one of those things that you learn, you know. Those are sometimes can be looked at as difficulties when you're working with a church group. And so it's a little bit messy sometimes, you know. Sometimes people disappoint you and they doesn't go quite like you would like for it to do. It's messy. It might be easier just to watch a preacher on TV or something like that and study your Bible by yourself. But God has put the church here as a family, or however you want to look at it, as a way for us to learn how to love each other and work together and contribute to each other's success and encourage each other. Okay, and this is one of my favorite pictures. This is one that we do every few years, and I really like it. It's talked about in Hebrews 10:24. You'll notice there it says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good works or good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some in their habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So our job is to get together and to encourage each other and to spur each other on towards good things to do for the kingdom. Now, one of the ways that we can do this is not just here on Sunday morning. We have life talks that we, a lot of us are a part of, and it's just a smaller group that meets during sometime during the week in homes, a smaller group, and it's a great experience. And one of the things that we do, it's kind of a tradition around here, we start out each talk with an icebreaker. Thank you, Lee. He's in my life talk. And we have what we call the icebreaker. And one time, it was when it was led, they said, you know, tell something that you are appreciative of what your church family has done for you. And we all got to go around and do that. And it was just amazing. So many people, and you may not, I don't think about it as much because I grew up in a strong church family and a big family, and I, by that nature, I was able to relate a little bit better maybe, but some people never grew up going to church. They never really grew up talking about Jesus in their home and understanding the mysteries of God like some of us have, and so they get it from our family meetings like this and like life talks and personal interactions with people. And they went on and on about how wonderful it was to be at Central, because Central was their only experience to this point, really, at being able to have an experience with a church family and see what the kingdom of God looks like. And they brought me to tears for all the wonderful things they said about how people had tried to help them and show them how to live their lives in a way that would be honorable to God. And so the way they were able to do that is they submitted themselves to coming to our assemblies and participating and trying to get to know people, and these blessings came to them. And so we'd like to make that everyone's experience. I know that's not universal. It's not always that way. There's things that happen from time to time. But it is something that you can take advantage of if you'll submit yourself to work there. I grew up in another church when I was a child, but I still love to get together with folks that I grew up with and that influenced me, and I still know quite a few folks from that church. And one of them's even here today, Miss Maggie French. She was a great influence, and her family was wonderful to me as I was growing up, and I still reap the benefits and the blessings from that. Okay. Let me show you some pictures of my grandchildren. It's a wonderful thing, but we have a responsibility because there are lots of children here. Now, they're actually in another room, thank you. But it's important that we take care of them and watch over them. There are a lot of people here at Central that dedicate their lives to ministering to young people to show them the way they should go. And if you have an opportunity and you can see the way to participate in that in some way, I'm proud to say that all of my grandchildren here have all gone through happy times, and they've gotten the benefit from that. And actually, both my children went to happy times. And it's a great experience. It was a great experience. It got them started understanding who Jesus was and made my job a lot easier in trying to guide them and bringing them to their decision that they had to make eventually about wanting to follow Jesus. And it's a wonderful thing. But one thing we need to remember from this is that on this scripture that I have down at the bottom, we need to be respectful for each other. It starts as saying, do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. And it goes on and talks about everybody. But basically what it's saying is everybody is worthy of our respect. Whether they're older, whether they're younger, we need to treat each other with respect. Don't treat them like they were the enemy. let's draw together. And when we have difficulties, when we have disagreements, and we're going to have, you get this many people in a room, you're going to have some disagreements. And God has shown us the way and has written in His Word the way for us to resolve those difficulties. And He's even given us an organizational approach for us to be able to sit down with others. If we can't work it between the two people that may be having difficulties, then we have a path where we can bring others in and they can help us. And I've been, as a part of being an elder, I've been a part in a couple of occasions where people were able to resolve their difficulties by getting together groups of people. And it wasn't because we figured out who was right and who was wrong. It's because we all showed that we loved each other and we cared for each other. And we wanted to the best for each other. And that's the way you change people's minds and get them to work together. So it brings me to my conclusion, phase one. You know, we would, as many things as I've said that show that this, or that our congregation here is doing really well, we can always do better. And we want to do better any way that we possibly can, because we want to be the very best that we can be. And one of the first things that I wrote down was welcome new members with celebration. We have baptisms here. Most of the time we go off into the old auditorium and we watch that, and it's a great celebration. We had Josh Bridgman recently, and he was not baptized on a Sunday morning, so we weren't here, but we need to look for him. I understand, I checked on him. I don't think he's here this morning, but if we have an opportunity to meet him, that would be great to do that. We need to welcome him with celebration and try to get to know him and understand him, because whoever he is and whatever his talents may be, he's an addition to our congregation. Our congregation will never be the same because he is now a part of us. And by that, we need to make sure our members are fed and they're loved. And we do a pretty good job when we find out. I hear lots of stories in my position about how people have had needs and other members have risen up and they have provided those physical needs for people. But we also need to show people love. Sometimes we say, oh, I love everybody. And I said, well, sometimes I tell my wife that, of course I love you, dear. And she says, well, why don't you show me? Why can't I tell it by looking at you? And so we need to think about that. And that's good training for us working together. If people can't obviously tell that you love them and you care for them and you're glad that they're here, then you need to change the way you're looking at people and the way you come across people. I'm sure it's probably not intentional, but you need to take a conscious effort to do that. And so what can I do? What can each one of us do to make us the best that we can be? We can be devoted to our time together and try to make sure that we're here. You know, people always told me when I was starting my working career, you know, half of the job is just showing up and being there. And that's partly how it is being a part of a church family. If you're here every time that we meet together and you're engaged in what we're doing, you're more than halfway there of being an integrated member of the family. So anything that you can do to be devoted to the fellowship together is going to be a benefit and bring blessings on you. And then, as I mentioned before, work to resolve differences in a Christian way. We're going to have differences, and one thing that can hold us back is if we are not respectful and courteous to each other because we've got some kind of a difference between us. And so we need to address those and speak honestly and truthfully to people so we can have honest and truthful relationships with each other. So finally, I want to leave us with a scripture that love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. So it's a very positive message, and that's the way we ought to look at our church family. Now, if you're a member here and you'd like to be more involved, please make a resolution today that you'll take some steps to do that and take some action, because nobody will know if you want to be more involved unless you're ready to take some action to do that. If there's something that's keeping you from being involved and more integrated into our church family, let somebody know. Let me know. And we'll try to help, and we'll try to resolve whatever that is if we can. If you'd like to be a member of this family, please let us know, and we'll welcome you with great celebration. But there's one thing. In order to be a part of this family, you have to be born again. If we can help you in any way with that, please come forward while we sing.